Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yay! Welcome to our homes again. Once again, it is the AfterBuzz TV Batwoman After Show. Of course, the home edition. We're so excited to have you joining us. I'm your host, Ali Fona Bradford, and joining me, as always, is the wonderful Katie Kellenberg.
Hi, everyone. I'll be in the chat again, so if you have comments, let me know. We'll discuss.
Yes. And if this is your first time joining us, just know that you're co-hosting the show. So every comment that you leave, we are going to go ahead and make sure to read those and try to get them into the conversation. So if we forget anything, please, by all means, let us know. But we're going to start today with our hashtag #BadassBeast. So Katie, I'm going to go ahead and let you go first.
This is hard for me because there was a lot of fight scenes and a lot of people who had individual moments, but I'm going to go with probably Hush. Now, I know he's a villain.
Oh, okay. This is an interesting choice.
We finally got to see Hush as, you know, a villain and see what he's capable of. And he's a little more downstated than Alice's normal, you know, way of just kind of balls to the wall type thing. So I really enjoyed seeing that character. And he was pretty terrifying. So, yeah.
He was. I like that. I'm not mad at you for that. However, I do definitely have a different, my hashtag, what, yes, that's what happened. Mouth speak, words come out when that happens. My hashtag badass beast is going to have to go to Parker Torres for multiple reasons. One, she was not afraid to get sassy with Hush when she was in the backseat. Like, she was just smart. She knew better. You can't kill me, so I'm not scared of you, FYI. And then at the same time, too, I love the fact that even though she is a teenager, like, she sat in, she watched Kate have that moment with Sophie, and she's like, no, what are you doing? And then for her at the end to make mention again and say, hey, fight for her. And she's so right. But anyways, yeah, and she's just smart. Like, everything she's doing with the computer, which we knew about that before because she's a hacker, but now she's having the opportunity to use her skills for something that's good. So, yeah, she's mine. Curious, what's your guys's in the chat?
So far, there hasn't been anybody say anything, but I'll keep them. I'll shout them out if they come. But hello, Classic Player 71. Hi, welcome.
Yes, hello. I know this is not typically our regularly scheduled program, so if you are not watching live like you normally would, that's okay. Just leave comments below, and of course, again, hashtag #BadassBeast, and let me know who you think who's who. So first and foremost, let's get started. We got a lot of juicy stuff going on with Luke. He could have been our badass beast because he had a lot of great moments. But what I loved about this character so much is that they really brought a humanness to him. We knew that he always had this complex about not being as good as his dad, but I think a few more layers definitely peeled today. And we got to see that thing that we all go through, which is that living up to somebody who's your role model, not feeling like you're good enough, and him not feeling worthy enough, but at the same time being bold enough to put his life on the line for something that his dad was willing to do the same thing to. So I don't know. I mean, how did you feel about him throughout this episode, Katie?
I loved Luke in this episode. I feel like we finally got to see a little bit more dimension and more of trying to be his own person, but also live up to his dad's legacy. You know, when he said, I'm not my dad, and he had to say, I don't understand everything my dad did. He was smarter than me, but still being able to keep what his dad wanted without, like, when he made the decision to say, you can't have this, even if you have to kill us. And there was just something so loaded about that that made me love Luke so much more, that he knew what was more important to his dad and the legacy that his dad had.
Yeah, you know, the only fault that I found, and some people actually might see this as a good thing, is he is very loyal, but then to an extent, and I think maybe sometimes to the wrong people, because when it came to Julia, and they had that confrontation, it was like him and Kate in the beginning of the episode, and Kate's like, look, there's something off about the situation as far as like the things that she's doing, the secrets, the, you know, and she revealed at one point that when Julie had came into his life, I believe she's talking so fast, so I may have not written this note down properly, but just saying that I think Julia came in posing as a babysitter or something or other when Luke was just a young person. So off the get-go, you know, she wasn't very honest, but Luke was like, no, no, no. I've known her since she was a kid and I trust her. There's nothing wrong with her. So again, cool, glad that you're loyal, but at the same time, like, why wouldn't you at least hear Kate out? I don't know. Did that bother you at all?
It did, but then when later on when he goes and confronts her and calls her out and says, listen, I know there's some stuff going on, then I pulled back a little bit and realized he was saying that because he didn't want to give Kate fuel that wasn't solid proof that he had evidence for. So I feel like I respected him in that way.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. That's good. We also saw a lot of him with Julia. And she's also a character that, you know, like last week, I was not very forgiving and I didn't like her. And I start to not like her more this episode because of the fact that she was like boldly lying. And even like when Kate confronted her, she had said, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with you, love? I don't know what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And we got that little piece of truth, that nugget at the very end of the episode of her just saying, look, I bartered my life to save yours. Unfortunately, like, we're screwed, but this is why I did what I did, you know? Yeah. So it's like, okay, I guess I can like you again, but I'm still a little mad at you for getting involved with your ex-girlfriend's ex, because that's A, messy, B, you guys are all in the same line of work, you're gonna cross paths, and C, just ew.
Yeah.
But at this point, the other thing that made me like really, really sad is, and again, it's something that we do in real life when you're not like super confident, and Sophie goes to talk to Kate, and there's just like so many underlying feelings and emotions and unsaid things that are happening in that particular scene where, you know, Sophie's basically, and I'm like, oh my God, Kate, she's asking you for permission to be with Julia because secretly she still has a lingering emotions for you. And she wants to know if you do too. But, you know, in real life, like we're too scared to outright ask people. So we go in the gray area and then Kate totally, like, unconfidently is like, yeah, you can go ahead, give her a call, I'll let her know you came by.
I was with what's the high schooler's name again? Why can't remember her name right now.
Parker Torres.
Parker and Mary, when they're watching it, I felt like them. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on? What, she's giving you an opportunity to say, no, I'm not okay with this. And you're just, and it is hard though, at the same time, as frustrated as it was, I don't like confrontation and certain situations like that. So it's hard for me in the moment to be honest with what I really might be thinking versus what I'm saying. So I understood Kate, but I also understood Mary and Parker as well.
Right.
Split down
now, though. Do you think that Kate was picking up what Sophie was laying down as far as her, like, the reason behind her asking the permission?
I don't think she was. I don't think she realized why she, or she did, and she just was pushing it aside because there was other stuff going on that maybe she thought was more important.
You know, and it's funny, too, because part of me wants to say that Kate feels like the life that she's leading, and she's trying to follow in her cousin's footsteps, right? Cousin? Mm-hmm. Uncle.
Uncle.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. she's trying to follow in his footsteps. And one of the things that Bruce never had was a relationship. So in her own way, I don't know if subconsciously maybe Kate is also, for lack of a better word, it's not punishing herself, but just not allowing herself to do certain things because of her line of work. You know?
I think that's very, very, very possible. You know, we're used to seeing the significant others of superheroes end up badly because they're in the public eye or because people know about them. So I understand both of those types of feelings that Kate would have.
Right.
Oh, hi, Kate. Hi, Captain Kate Anvers again. Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. She's from Sweden. So, you know, yes. I give her a shout out. So, yeah.
We follow each other on IG.
Yeah.
Wow, girl. So we were talking about the romance. But anyway, that said, the other thing that sort of upset me too, and this is sort of hopping topics, but the fact that Commander, who is, you know, obviously Kate's father, is like so blind, because we're talking about people like not taking these things off, right? My iTunes people, I'm covering my eyes with little cover things. But anyhow, blinders, not taking the blinders off. And he's just like so focused on his mission of it's the bat. I don't care. You can show me any evidence you want. And Sophie's like trying to tell him, and he's like, no, we're going after this person, and she's not out of it. And the fact that he like, first of all, you're not the mayor. Okay. I don't think you have the power to banish somebody out of a town, but nice try. And to sit there and be like, oh, it's war. I'm like, dude, if you only knew who's under the mask, first of all. Second of all, and then I'll let you talk, Katie. But the other thing is, you brought Sophie back for a reason. Okay. Like, you kicked her out. But even going back, like rewinding even further back in time, when he knew that Sophie was involved with his daughter and like all these things, and he sort of took her under his wing. And there's a certain level of, I know her and I can trust her. And he brought her back because he felt some level of trust. He also put her in charge along with Julia with this other certain, not wing, but this other department, if you will, in the Crows. So there's so much trust going on, but you can't stop for 2 seconds to listen to her opinion when she's trying to tell you she thinks you're wrong. Like, what? That part did not make sense to me. What about you?
I mean, we always talk about how much we don't like Commander Kane, and I feel like he's following that same pattern that we hate so much. It's, he doesn't like listening to other people, which I get. Right. But I feel like a lot of his mistakes are made because he doesn't listen to people. And it's just kind of more getting repetitive and annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, not unexpected, but it's just annoying.
But it's like, how are you a leader, but you're that bullheaded?
Yeah.
You know, like, I get it, take charge, but at the same time, listen to your people that are around you. They can see things from other perspectives that you can't. Yeah. So, I don't know. But also, going into perspective, I have to talk about this one. Actually wrenched my heart a little bit, but Mouse, like, his perspective of Arkham, and he feels like he's finally found, and I love that he said it, he found his Wonderland.
Yeah.
And it upsets me because, and you know, and Sam Littlefield, when he came and he did that interview with us, he was just talking about the fact that, and we see it more now, that Mouse is not necessarily out to hurt people because he enjoys the hurt and because he's out for like all this crazy revenge. He's just like, in some senses, playing his game, going along, whatever Big Sister Alice says, I'm going to follow because I love her. But now it's getting more apparent. I mean, I think he saw it before, but now it's like getting more apparent that, look, dude, you've devoted so much of yourself to this person, and you think you've found this happiness in this place of sanctuary, and she's not happy because she's still out for vengeance with her sister. And like, it makes me so hurt for him, because it's like when you're in a relationship and you love somebody so much and they don't love you equally, and you're trying and trying to do all these things to get them to love you too, and they just don't. That's what I feel like his character is going through right now.
Yeah, I felt myself being really sad for his character as well. I even typed in my notes that, you know, in the scenes where Alice basically, you know, she killed the people they were interrogating. First of all, can't interrogate them. They can, are no use to you dead. Literally no use to you dead.
Right. You didn't even give them time.
I feel like, yes, we're used to seeing her do things her way. She's not used to being what other people want. And I get that. But I feel like she went a little bit, needed to chill down a little bit in this episode at the beginning, when she was just being reckless, as I'll say. And that's why I did hurt for Mouse, because Even Hush and Mouse are both thinking, Alice, you need to chill. There's something wrong when two other villains are telling you, yo, this is too much. You need to simmer down. And and it is sad that he is finding this in Arkham. And it makes you empathize with him. And I did have empathy for him. So, yeah, it was hard. It was hard to watch, for sure.
I mean, I think we sort of talked about it when it happened. But I think that Alice is unraveling simply because of the fact that, like, the betrayal that went into putting her even in Arkham in that place. Like, she's just been through so much in her life that this was just, like, the one thing on top of the stack that caused the cards to fall, if you will.
Yeah.
And I did not realize, and, like, it's, like, me over my head, but when Tommy slash Hush was like, basically she's holding this like Looney Tune right here is holding my face hostage. So bro, like when he was talking to the professor, you know, I'm going to need you to get some answers because I can't get my face back until she gets this code. And I was like, oh, got it.
Yeah.
I thought she was just using it as a misread when they had shown some guy hang himself and they were trying to make him look dead. I didn't realize that she wasn't going to give him his face back.
Yeah. And then our chat, it's pretty much agreed that Alice has tunnel vision, mm-hmm. with the sense that she's going to do what she wants to do to get to Kate. She doesn't really care about what anybody else wants. So well, I agree with that.
I see. And Tommy Hush, I don't know if we're just now calling him Hush now since the rest of Gotham is now calling him that. But he brought up a really excellent point, which was like, if you want her dead, just shoot her. Like, that will make your life so much easier, especially because of the fact that Alice knows who Kate is, or Batwoman. It's not like the only time she's ever seen Batwoman is in the suit, so she doesn't know who she is. She can't kill her because the suit is armored, etc., etc., etc. Like, you know your sister, you know where she goes, you know where she lives. If you really wanted her dead, you'd kill her. And if you wanted to torture her, you could still do that, because when you find her as Kate, she does not have a suit on. So I'm a little confused as to why she's trying to jump through all these hoops, unless she's just trying to make a statement and do whatever she does in a big production for the rest of the city to see. But yeah, her.
I think that's why.
Is interesting.
It's a game to her, but more than anything. So I think that's why she doesn't just kill Kate.
Well, now she knows how.
Yeah.
I did, and I don't want to go backtracking topics, but another one of those redeeming moments for Julia is when Luke is under pressure to decode the book. And she's like, you know, you got, like, you can do this, and you are just as smart, and you are these things. And, like, she helps encourage him. But the other thing I will point out, too, I don't know if you guys noticed or Katie, you noticed at all, but I thought it was very interesting that Alice is electrocuting, or no, maybe it was Tommy Hush, whatever. That was doing it at the time, and Luke is like, you're killing her, you know, and she's like, nah. And then all of a sudden, as soon as he's done, she snaps back into it, and she's sassy and ready to, like, fight with her words, and I thought, I feel like that's not almost dead. Just a little detail there. Is that weird to you?
I feel like with a normal person who wasn't in the circumstance that she was in, it would make sense for her to be almost dead. I don't know that Luke knew exactly what state she was in. And she was like, I'm fine. I've done this before. So to me, that didn't really bother me. I just kind of saw it as it's not her first rodeo with torture.
Got it. So. That's sad, but I got it.
Yeah.
There was that mentioning of two, which I know I'm going to not pronounce it correctly, but somebody in the chat was saying it all last week. And I was like, huh? I don't know. And they were right. So I just want to give you guys props. Hey, high five, whoever had said it. And I don't know if you read a spoiler or you're just like that good. And you're familiar with the clues.
They've mentioned her a couple times, I guess, but I've never noticed it.
Yeah. Sophie Sohail. I tried to type it out.
Safria, I think. Yeah. Right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Bad pronunciation. But if you in the chat would like to phonetically spell that for us, you are more than welcome to do that. Anywho, I don't even know why I brought that up. That was just a thought.
No. Our viewers are on top of it. They're way more observant than us. So thank y'all for being very observant with some of the littler things that Ali Cohen and I miss.
Right. But also too, like, we watch a show and we're doing this.
Yeah.
And this. And so it's like so easy to miss a moment. Yeah. Anyway. But that was that. We had our moment. And then we have to talk about Mary also too, because bless Mary's heart. If you put your feet in her shoes for like 2 seconds, she's like so team sister, I'm gonna help you, but it's like every time she turns around the corner, she's finding out information that lets her know, like it almost knocks her down a notch, if you will, you know, like with mm-hmm. the whole reveal about Parker and Parker knowing, and she's this random teenager, and you're like, oh, awesome. So yeah, I really am the last person to know. Oh, she knew first? Oh, and he, oh, cool. Glad my value was not thought of in this team, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I felt like this episode is constantly being rubbed in her face a little bit. She took it, but I felt bad for her.
Yeah, I felt bad for Mary too, but I feel like it's going to be part of her growth. And mm-hmm. I feel like there's a reason Parker was brought in for this particular episode. You know, we are establishing Team Batwoman, and I feel like all the people who are being shown the Batcave in some way, shape, or form are eventually going to be on Team Batwoman.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I actually think that they do a really good job with Mary's character in that at one point, you know, she had that double side where she was a socialite and she was like this ditzy, you know, influencer, whatever, whatever. And that's cool. But I think there is still a piece of her that is that really fun girl. And so we get to see sprinkles of it. And I think when that does happen, sometimes we do forget, or at least I forget, how smart she is. Yeah. It's just unfortunate that in this particular episode, obviously what they needed was the tech savvy, and that's just not her lane.
Yeah.
But I do like that she was the one that got to find the glasses to
decode everything.
And the fact that we had that big moment at the very, very end where Alice is in the sewer with Mouse, and she's like, I need to get that, whatever she called him, like funny face guy, hush. And we got to find this little rock called Kryptonite. And I was like,
yeah, that was the biggest moment, I think, of this episode. At first, I was like, wait. And I had to think for a second because I was thinking, wait, Kryptonite, that's a Superman thing. But it's that connection back to Crisis, which they keep doing. So they're trying to, you know, interlock things. And I was reading an article that was really interesting saying that the whole relationship between Kate and Kara,
mm-hmm.
Kara, yeah, is supposed to echo like the similarity between Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent. So they're trying to bring it together so it still has that Arrowverse feel. So I think that's another reason why we heard Kryptonite. But the nerd in me was super excited when I heard that, because you can't help but be like, Kryptonite, what? That's what can kill. That's what can pierce her suit. Like, that's what's responsible for killing Batman.
Right.
So Batwoman, my bad. So let's see. I'm reading some of the chat comments real quick.
Join us.
So I know that Kay Danvers was saying that Sophia is Kate's ex-lover in the comics.
Okay.
So we're bringing another ex of Kate's into the story. So
she's like, she gets around, doesn't she?
Yeah,
but you know,
they addressed it in the episode too. She's her ex too. Oh yeah, she's also her ex.
Right.
So, yeah, I think Kate, it's more in the fact of who she's chosen to date, and not the fact that they're all in this says a little bit, but you know, that's a different conversation.
Right.
And they're just talking about, you know, the Joker and all the different connections of people and the show.
Yeah, I mean, the Commander had made, I'm really curious to know if you in the chat agree, disagree, mm-hmm. and then you as well, Katie, but the fact that the Commander had said that you're just as bad, you know, when that woman's trying to defend herself and he's like, please, girl, bye, don't give me that, because Alice did it because of you, and you need Alice, and Alice needs you, and as long as the two of you are doing all this stuff and like brawling, you're causing trouble for the city, so I need you out.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, you need Alice out too, so you can't banish one without the other, but obviously one keeps outsmarting you, so I guess go for the other. I don't know, but like I said, just curious what the chat feels about that. Did the Commander have a really good point? Do they need each other? Is that what's going on, or is he just like way off?
There was a mention of it, and I don't remember who said it, so Chad, if you did say it, please repeat it and I'll try to read it, because I don't remember exactly what they said, but they did make a touch on that about Batman, Joker, Alice, and Kate, so I did remember seeing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. On a side note, though, I totally thought she was going to tell her dad at the end there.
Oh, that she was Kate?
Yeah, I you know, we saw her do her voice change, and we saw her press a button, which I've never seen her do before. I don't know if you've ever noticed it before, but she pressed like a button to alter her voice. And before, yeah. I never knew that there was what was causing it. I thought right. It was just her changing her voice like we've always seen Batman do. So yeah. First of all, that was interesting to me. But I'm like, is she gonna take off her mask or be like, really? What? But someone did mention their badass beast was Kate for telling him, I am going to defend my city. Right. So that was a valid point. I mean, yeah. I feel like they have the same interests, but their way about going about them differently, obviously, because she's a right. vigilante, so.
What do you think is her reason for not wanting to tell her dad? Because I don't know if it is a little bit of, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to show you and I'm going to prove it to you. First of all, second of all, I know that daddy would never, ever let me walk these streets, if you will, because you don't want me to get hurt and you're going to protect me. And this is the only way I can go about saving the city without you trying to protect me. But at this point, she's done all these things to show that she can handle her own, she's capable, you just need to get off my back, because really you're causing part of the problem. And if we were to combine forces, just imagine how strong we could be.
Yeah,
so yeah, it is a little frustrating, and I want to know why she doesn't just at this point. I get why she didn't do it earlier, but why not now? Step out of the shadows.
We still have one more episode of the season, maybe that's why.
Well, yeah, but what do you think Commander would do? Like, do you think that he would be all business and be like, sorry, boo, and be just the same way he was with Alice, which is, you know, play by the rules? Or do you think that he would make an exception and hear Kate out and then work with her?
Maybe neither nor either of those. Maybe he's going to have to alter one way of thinking slightly and maybe try to work, but then say these are the rules behind if this is going to work. I feel like he would give her some sort of guidelines. If he is going to continue to let her do it, it's not just going to be just keep doing what you're doing,
right?
So,
but you don't think he'd try to put her in jail, do you?
I don't know, that's a big question. So
just because he thinks the things that she is doing, or are doing I should say, are bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, at what point do you say, okay, well, you're doing bad things, so regardless if you're my daughter or not, I'm going to have to lock you up.
It's going to take a big conversation between the two of them with Kate saying, listen, you think I'm only a bad guy, but I've been putting away bad guys as well. What's more important, Gotham's safety or my taking my own way of doing things?
Right.
So... it's always a big question in the DC universe and superhero stuff in general is vigilante justice?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Right.
MVP Life 22 says he would put her in jail. Okay. So.
Really?
They think that's what MVP Life 22 thinks. Thanks for your thoughts on that.
Got it. I guess I wouldn't be that surprised. Yeah, dad is a little bit harsh. So. Mm-hmm. The next thing that I wonder too, and I don't know if this it's more of like a question, so I don't think it'd fall into prediction, but it's like, now that Alice does have these glasses and it's like the undoing of Kate, like, now what? Aren't you going to be bored? Like, that's your whole purpose and your mission in life. You have no other purpose. You've not made anything else your purpose, which is your bad. So what are you going to do once Kate's gone? Twiddle your thumbs, pick up knitting, like what?
I don't know. There's going to be something that goes awry and stops her from being able to do her plan. That's the only obvious answer, I think. But I don't know that she knows what she'll do afterwards. Her whole plan is going to just cease if things go the way she wants it to.
She's love. She's fine love. That's all.
Yeah.
Cool. So if you are in the chat right now, make sure to, because we sort of skim over like some of the topics in the show. So if we missed something that was really pertinent in the episode, by all means, this is your opportunity. I always tell you guys, please let me know, let Katie know. I'm going to cruise through my notes to make sure that I haven't missed anything either.
Yeah. I think the only thing they said, Alicona, is just Hush. Like, are we going to see him? Where did he go? So they are talking a little bit about Hush, but I don't know if we talked a lot about
them. Well, here's the shocker for me is I did not realize that Alice was looking at him like this disposable thing. I thought she was like, okay, let's add him to our team. Whereas for her, she's like, okay, well, once he helps us get this book, like, cut it out, bye, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And her purpose obviously is just because he was so good at trying to make Batman his victim.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's...
But I definitely think we're going to see him again. There's no way we're not going to see Hush again. And I have to give them props. That was a very good reveal. The whole bandages and his overall look, I felt like it was very well done and creepy. I mean, it was simple. It's simple, but it's creepy. And then the whole fact that his name is, you just hear him say Hush. Like, it's the simplicity that I kind of liked about it, is they didn't make it too complex. Because sometimes when you have all these layers, it can get kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's like one of the things that I love to hate about him is that A, he has no mercy. B, he's also tunnel vision. If he wants or needs something, he just goes and gets it. And, you know, like, because most killers, like, you have a purpose and he really has no purpose. He just killed people. Like, yes, he was going, like, in the beginning opening when we see him going through the library, he just, like, randomly starts shooting people. And it's like, that's an interesting choice. And it says a lot about your personality, because really your face is covered. So you could walk through with your guns and be like, out of my way, out of my way, out of my way, going for this guy or tell me where this guy is. And instead he's like, pow, 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 you're disposable. You're disposable. I don't care. Do. And like no kind of feeling behind it. So I think that says a lot about who he is as a villain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, it'll be interesting at some point, once, if he ever gets his face back, or he makes peace with the fact that he will never get his face back, when he finally decides to go up against Alice, because how is this one individual got so much power over all these other people, especially, and look, I'm a girl, and I'm always in my mind, like, I'll whoop your ass, I don't care who you are, or how big you are, I'll whoop your ass, but that's just me. And and that's probably not true if it's like a 300-pound dude. So that said, Alice is like this little thin person, and somehow she's got all these people following her. She's never once shot anybody. She hasn't used a gun, unless I missed that, right? She's got her knife, which she twirls around, but she never actually physically.
I think she did stab someone with her knife like in one episode. I can't remember.
Okay.
But she is more, she is more of a, she has people do her business. But I feel like a lot of villains do that. Some of the best villains don't actually have to lift a finger because they have their following.
That is true, because people are so terrified of them. So interesting how she's managed to do that as well.
Yeah.
But I would like to see somebody try to take her on and see what happens.
I think it'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see you, Ivan, in the chat. Is there anything else that they wanted to mention that we didn't?
I think it's, for the most part, they're just kind of talking about some of the connections and things that have been made. So there's a lot in this episode, everyone. So yeah, they're all just discussing.
Cool. Well, awesome. Then let's get into some news real quick.
Sounds good.
AfterBuzz TV. Okay. So this is not really news, but it's like a little bit of a, let me tell you a little about somebody. So since we got to see Parker Torres again, and I didn't realize that she was going to come back, I wanted to talk a bit about the actress, because she's been out and about. For those of you who don't know, now what I probably will do, oh, look at that, her beautiful picture is mispronounced name, so I forgive me. Malia Pyles, if I'm saying that correctly. So she played Sarah on this TV show on FX called Baskets. So some of you might know her from there, from Fosters. And she was actually on Win, Lose, or Draw, which is a game show in 2014, which I thought was kind of cool. And an only child. But either way, she's somebody to look out for. I think she's like super, super talented, and I loved watching her. And so I just wanted to highlight her just a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, too, because we have not as much going on in the world right now, so we don't have anybody going out and about, but I do know that, Katie, you found a badass bee, so I'd love for you to share that with us.
It was one of the people in the production for Arrow and the Arrow shows, Arrowverse shows, has been doing a lot of charity events, auctioning off some of the stuff from Crisis on Infinite Earths and a set tour. Both of those are concluded now, but there have been a lot of things like that where they can appeal to the fans and make money for charity. One of them was to make money for the comic businesses that are suffering right now, and the money was to help those people out who are out of business essentially during this time. And then the other one was for COVID-19 efforts. So it's nice to see them at least trying to use their voice and using their resources to help the cause for COVID-19. And not only that, but it is great that people are trying to support small businesses, because I know they're taking a bigger hit than any of the large corporations during this time.
Right.
So, you know, Free Comic Book Day got canceled. So they're really hurting right now, the comic industry. So anybody who's able to support that, it's awesome. So they're badass. So can't remember his name, and I'm sorry, y'all. Can't remember his name.
That's okay. Well, another reminder too, if you go to Rachel Scarson's Cameo, because she hopped on there, she has a profile now. You can ask her to wish you a happy birthday or a happy anything, send you a message, you make a donation. I don't know if it starts at $50, but I do remember $50 somewhere in there, but it goes to charity. So yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm sure you could probably find some of your other favorite celebrities too, and hopefully they're doing it for a good cause.
I mean, DC Universe, I know, who was it? Someone else was doing one and they had to up it to $100 because it just was so many. It wasn't as an attempt to offend anybody. It was more just to help keep it more manageable. But it's not, it's all for charity. So it's not really a bad cause anyway.
Okay. So why don't we get into a little bit of our predictions?
All right.
Oh my goodness, I would never make it as a Foley artist. Rubio. So anyhow, predictions. I will actually go first and then I'll toss it to you. And I'm sure I'll think of more stuff later. P.S. co-host at home, that's your opportunity to hop in the chat. Send us some of your predictions. Now, for me, one of the open-ended things that may or may not pay off later on is the fact that when chaos broke loose at Arkham Asylum, everybody broke out. Like, we don't know if the crows got that under control. I'm sure even if they did, a few villains slipped through the cracks. So that's going to allow us to have more villains coming in the future. Now, mind you, we only have one episode left. And maybe that was meant for something for the finale, which unfortunately has not been filmed yet. But if that's the case, that will make one heck of a huge battle. So my weird, random, roundabout way of a prediction is basically saying that I think it's going to have some sort of payoff. It needs to. It has to. And then the other prediction that I have is Kate, who saw her ex and ex now making out. I think she was going to actually take Parker's advice and fight for Sophie, but also seeing them make out, it's like a tough situation because they're both people you care about and you want them to be happy, but deep down inside you're not happy. I think that Kate's very selfish. I think that she's probably going to keep it to herself until next season. What about you, Katie?
Well, I feel like a few weeks ago I did mention something about multiple people getting out of Arkham. Now, I thought it was going to be Kate busting people out, which she kind of did. She kind of did. She let them all free. So, you know, I just was a little proud of that. And what is Gotham without a mass breakout of Arkham? I mean, it's kind of the groundwork of Gotham. I don't think, we're going to see anything really else happen with Sophie and Kate this season. I do think there will be at least one more person that finds out about Kate being Batwoman, though, in the next episode.
Oh, okay.
And then that'll be it until next season. So I feel like they want to set up the most for Team Batwoman. And I did like the line where Kate hugged Luke and said, "There is no Batwoman without you." And I feel like that is building up to her team. So those are my predictions. As for the chat, Eric Heinle said, "I think that Hush will try to frame Bruce for a crime in the next episode." All right. And then Captain K. Danvers Kane says, "I think Alice will kill Mouse once he realizes she had desire to keep him once she actually gets Kate." So, yeah.
Aww.
And Antonio, I hope so. He said, they said Catwoman / Poison Ivy might be there next season. I hope, because
I would love it.
Poison Ivy is my girl. Like, she's my girl. So I'm hoping we see Poison Ivy so much.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
So. Awesome. Well, you guys, fantastic predictions, all of you in the chat. Katie, great prediction as well. And thank you for joining us at this very special time. We may or may not be filming at this time for the last episode next week. We have not figured that out yet. We also may have a guest. So who knows? Yes. A lot of things going on in the air. But in the meantime, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. You're doing the iTunes thing, but also on YouTube too. We like that as well. And then follow both of us on Instagram and continue the conversation. I'm Allie Kona Bradford. You can find me at yours truly, Allie Kona, with little underscores in between. I am mainly on IG. You might catch me on Twitter, but I'm on IG. What about you, Katie?
You can find me at Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at KT_Christine. But yeah, stay tuned because next week we're supposed to have a pretty cool guest for the finale. So,
all right. So we'll see you guys next week. Mwah, we love you. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Stay safe.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.